cannot be. Your presence surrounds me. It's indescribable, it's undeniable. I'm trembling 'cause you are near.
I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away.
The sound of heaven is all around. Hear the mighty rushing wind. All of the people are worshiping. We fall and rise again. It's indescribable, it's undeniable. I'm trembling 'cause you are near.
I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by, 'cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything
from every nation and tongue. He's a good God. He's a good God. He deserves great praise. He deserves that we would come together, lift our voice, give Him our all. He's worthy of all honor, all glory, all praise. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come together here in your house to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory, honor, and praise that you are so due. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We clap our hands. We lift our voice. We acknowledge your greatness in our praise, God. We sing songs of your goodness, your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to remind you that after service this evening, we invite you downstairs for a celebration of a milestone in Brother Day's life, as he is, after, I think, 34 years in the real estate industry, has decided to separate from service, as they say, and is now retired. And so we want to take the time to acknowledge that and wish him well. And doing so, what better way to wish somebody well than get together and eat in fellowship? And so we're looking forward to that tonight. So good to see Jeremy, Cassie, and your family there in service coming. I'm sure not just, you know, to come, but for that. And I understand that. God bless you for being here in service with us tonight. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind to stand, I know I won't let you sit for a spell, but I have to stand much longer than you do. Mark chapter number 10, just three verses of scripture there, and then I'll have you turn back to Matthew chapter 10. Mark 10 and Matthew chapter 10. We'll begin first at Matthew chapter 10 and then go into Mark chapter 10. Will not be long in my comments tonight, but Lord, just kind of dropped this nugget into my spirit of late, and I felt led to bring it to you tonight in the service. Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And to whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Mark chapter number 10, verses 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, this was after a conversation concerning a rich man and how hard it is for those to enter into heaven that have riches. And Jesus saying it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Peter, as many times, poses a question. I'm sure the others thought it, but Peter had enough boldness to say it. So Peter looks at the Lord and says, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Lord, look at all we've forsaken. Look at all the things that we've left. We've left all. We follow you. Jesus answered and said, verily or truly I say unto you, there is no man. Everybody say no man. We understand that that means women as well. No human, if you will, that hath left house, brethren or sisters or father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Draw your attention back to where we first read in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And I want to preach to you upon this subject, the reward for the righteous. The reward for the righteous. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the awesome opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory, honor, and praise that is so due you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would work among us, God, that you would talk to our hearts and our minds and our spirits, God, that we would leave here with a greater appreciation and understanding for how you work and how you move and what you do. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. For all that you are and all that you do, God, let our life songs sing your praise in what we do and how we live. We love you and praise you and thank you. In your precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We live in a society wherein immediate gratification is sought. Where having the reward now seems so much more fulfilling than waiting to receive something better later on. I don't know if many of you know this, but I want to give public appreciation to Mr. Mason. He didn't know I was going to do this, so he's probably a little embarrassed right now. But he came to me some weeks ago and said, I've asked my mom, and I wonder if I can do something for the kids. I wonder if I can put together some kind of like little reward system on Sunday night when they're in service. And if they remember the scripture, then they get a ticket. And if they remember the title of the message, they get a ticket. And if they remember a song that was sung, I hope I'm not messing up. I hope I got the rules right, because if not, the kids will call me on it. And I said, sure, bud, that'd be great if you want to do that and run with it. And so he's put together this little program all on his own, all in his heart. And that's good. Because he wants to see the kids learning. He wants to see them paying attention. And he has to pay attention too, because he's got to know whether or not their answers are right. And so I think it was maybe last Sunday night, I asked, I don't know if it was him or Sister Angie, I asked, I noticed that a lot of the kids were coming up and getting things, and, you know, they were spending their tickets at night, and I knew that Austin was pretty studious about knowing things and remembering things, and so I was kind of shocked. I said, well, Austin hadn't gotten anything, and they said, well, no, he's saving up his tickets. I thought, that's my boy. He's willing to wait for something better. He's willing to put off immediate gratification or getting that that little piece of candy because he wants the big item in the box. And so he's going to, however long it takes and however many times it and tickets it's going to take him to get that big prize. Well, that's what he wants to do. I hope he hasn't since conceded for something smaller because that would kind of ruin my object lesson. But unfortunately, we live in a world today that is that they're so content with immediate gratification. They want it right here. They want it now. There's even a commercial. I believe it's a Verizon commercial, and the tagline is, "I want it all, and I want it now." And that is the generation in which we live. It is that type of mentality that drives our consumer-based society. That I want it all and I want it now. And unfortunately, the society in which we live, they're not willing to wait on or work for. That whole mentality of waiting and putting your time in and working and diligently serving, well, that seems so yesterday. That doesn't seem like it should be today. And without doubt, much of this same way of thinking has crept into the church. This, as we might say, this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, this kind of immediate gratification, our service unto God, it's kind of crept its way into Christendom. And this type of prosperity teaching, I fear, sometimes causes us to steer away from preaching and teaching about the blessings of God. Unfortunately, because it has been, in my opinion, perverted, and the prosperity doctrine is preached in such a way that I do not find it biblical. I do not believe that we do what we do for our best life now. I believe we do what we do for the life that is to come. And I'm going to serve God whether or not I get blessed with a big house or whether I drive the newest car. I'm going to serve God because He's worthy of being served. But sometimes I fear that this type of teaching has caused us to steer away from teaching and talking and preaching about the reward of the righteous. That there is reward for doing good. That God does notice those deeds that are done in a good sense. And that sometimes, I know, in our humanity, we think, well, I'm doing all this and I'm working so hard and I'm trying and I don't see much fruit. I don't see much reward in what I'm doing. And so sometimes if we look at it through man's eyes, we can become discouraged. And many times when we think about working for the kingdom of God and doing things in the kingdom of God, we often think like Simon did. We often proclaim things like Simon Peter did. Lord, we've left all. Lord, we've sacrificed so much. We've given up so much to follow you. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've given up and what we've sacrificed. And we tend to focus on the things that we have given up. We focus on things and we say, well, I could have done this, or I could have been that, or I could have had this, so on and so forth. Might I say that we should look at it a little different? Maybe we should start focusing upon to whom we have sacrificed and for whom we have forsaken. Maybe we should realize that our service unto God, that He is not slack concerning His promises, that He will fulfill and He will reward the righteous. And I may not see it tomorrow, and I may not see it the next day. Matter of fact, I may not see it in this life, but I do have the faith to believe that I will receive, that God is faithful. Everything He sees, everything He notices, He notices when we've done good. He notices when we've forsaken and we've sacrificed for the cause of the kingdom. So maybe we should start focusing a little more on whom we have sacrificed for and understand that Almighty God, who has everything at His disposal, He is willing and able to bless us beyond belief. And while it may not happen here in this life, it will happen. He will recompense. He will reward the righteous. See, If we truly believe in the reward that awaits, catch this. If we truly believe in the reward that awaits us, then nothing we have given up in this life is even worthy of comparison. If we truly believe that at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, if we truly believe that what awaits us on the other side is so far superior to anything and everything in this life, and we could truly say, oh, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? And we could truly understand that I'm not doing what I'm doing just so you can think God is good to me now, but I'm doing what I'm doing because He's a good God. And whether it's going to happen right now, tomorrow, a year from now, or it's going to be for all eternity, it's worth the wait. It's worth it all. But in our humanity, much like when we focus upon the things that we have given up and those things that we have forsaken, we often focus on things that we have failed to do right and acknowledge the things that we have done wrong. We see our heart somewhat condemns us because we know we focus on things that are right that we haven't done. It's there. It's obvious. James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We understand that. We sometimes in error, we put a lot of weight on those things. And trust me, understand what I'm saying. I'm not negating, or I'm not saying that there should not be honest introspection of our lives and what we've done and what we're doing or not doing. But sometimes we need to understand that we serve a God that while honest inspection of our lives and our soul is not wrong, and it keeps us endeavoring to do better, we should remain confident that God rewards those that are even faithful over a few things by making them rulers over many. See, the way in which God rewards, if we truly believed and we truly understood how awesome and how good our God is, if we're just faithful over a few things, the Bible says He's going to make us ruler over many. We serve that kind of God. Yes, I understand there's wrong, and yes, I understand there's times I know it to do good and I do it not, and those times that I want to do good and evil is present with me. I understand there's those times, there's those failures, and there's those mistakes, but I also understand there are those times when I still got my hand to the plow and I'm still pushing forward, and though the soil is rocky and I'm not seeing much return right now, the more I plow and the more I spread the seed, the more I'm willing to say the Lord of the harvest is still willing to recompense me. See, Hebrews 10, 35 and 37 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep endeavoring to be better and do good. Am I going to make mistakes and I'm going to fail to do everything I should do? Yes, I will. But guess what? I'm endeavoring to be better today than I was yesterday, and better tomorrow than I am today. I'm still got my hand to the plow and I'm still doing it for the kingdom of God. And whether He blesses me right now or not, I know that He is faithful and He will recompense me, and the reward of the righteous is worth it. For yet a little while, verse 37, and he that shall come will come. He will. It will happen. You see, the more I believe that, the more I understand that my reward, it's coming. Even if I give a cup of water in the name of a disciple, I will not lose my reward. The more I understand the goodness of God, the more it keeps me looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be impatient with the process. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other and walk this walk by faith and not by sight. But I do believe, and I have the faith that keeps me pressing forward toward the mark, because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek out. See, God will not neglect to notice our labor of love. He will not neglect to notice when you're doing it. When you're working. When I don't feel like doing the things, but I still do them. When it's tough and I still put the hand to the plow and I still keep going. When the circumstances aren't conducive, but I still keep going. When the adversary has raised his ugly head and he's fighting me tooth and nail, but I keep going and I still keep plugging along and I still keep pressing ahead. The Lord does not neglect to notice. He still looks down and he understands. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Time I sing the song, every time I play the instrument, every time I sacrifice time and schedule in order to minister and be involved in the work of God, guess what? He takes note of it in heaven. He has angels, I believe, writing down, because the Bible says that there will be the resurrection of those that have done good, those that have done good works. And I still want to keep doing good because I want God to take notice, and because he's a rewarder. No matter what I have to give up in this life, no matter what I have to forsake, I promise you, it's going to be worth it. The Bible says, even a cup of water given in the name of a disciple will not lose its reward. Something as simple as offering a drink. Bible says the Lord notices. The Lord sees from heaven. And the Lord will not neglect. He is not unrighteous concerning and seeing your work and your labor of love. He sees it. He knows. Nobody else sees what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. Nobody else sees the labor of love that you're putting forward. God sees it. And he's a rewarder. He, catch this. Even a cup of water, you won't lose your reward. Sometimes in our humanity, and I know me, you know me, I'm pretty candid. Sometimes in my working in the kingdom, I do become frustrated. And I do become disappointed because I don't see the results that I want to see. Maybe you're not like me, but there's times I have to war, if you will, with my humanity. Things aren't happening the way I think they should be happening, or running the course that I think they should be running. Sometimes, and it was in this griping, if you will, I do that to God sometimes. You don't, but I do. I complain. I'm like, y'all righteous. Y'all don't ever do stuff like that. Maybe you don't put voice to it, but we all in our spirit, there's groanings and there's things that happen and there's circumstances and situations which cause us to compromise, if you will, and contemplate our choices and what we've done or what we're doing. It's in that time and in that season, if you will, prayer where I was really asking God, God, you got to give me something here. This scripture came to my mind. Listen, you're not even going to give a cup of water in the name of a disciple that I won't notice. I see everything. Stop focusing on the things that you're not doing right and start focusing on some things that you are doing right. Yeah. Maybe God is less disappointed in us than we are in ourselves sometimes. Because He knows the process. He knows the end from the beginning. And we get frustrated because the fulfillment hasn't happened yet. And we haven't seen the reward. And so we become disappointed and we become disgruntled. And sometimes we become depressed and we don't see what we think we should be seeing at this point in time. And I wonder if maybe sometimes God looks down from heaven and kind of shakes His head and says, "Be so discouraged. Don't you realize who you're doing this for? Don't you realize that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills? Don't you know that all the world is mine? Don't you realize?" I told my wife, many of you know, we had the opportunity the last couple days to be in San Diego. She called the area God kissed. I agree. It's amazing. Beautiful terrain. Wonderful scenery. Ocean crashing against the rocks. And I looked at my wife at one point where we're sitting there and we're admiring the sunset out of the Pacific Ocean. And I told her, I said, "Man, didn't God create some beautiful stuff?" I've said this before, I'll say it again. If He spoke all of this into existence, God said, and 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 God said, it all happened. He just spoke it, and it happened. And this earth with its beauty and its majesty and all the wonderful areas and sceneries that God spoke into existence. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. What's the place going to be like that He spent time preparing? What's it going to be like? You see, our imagination, I don't believe, can even scratch the surface of the reward that awaits the righteous. I don't believe we can even conceptualize just how awesome it's going to be. But here's the thing. Here's what troubles me sometimes. Is on the other side of that coin, we think we got a pretty good grasp. When it comes to the severity of God, when it comes to the wrath of God, when it comes to the torment and the judgment and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and eternal darkness and where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, we feel like we got a pretty good grasp of that. Just hang on for a minute. The reward of the wicked. Woo! We can readily see the severity of God. Now, I believe in that same line, we don't really know how bad it is. We don't really know how horrible hell is going to be. And I, for one, don't want to find out. But can we think about it on the other side for just a moment? If we can even in some small way conceptualize and understand the severity of God, the torment, the absolute horrible thought of hell, can we not understand the other side? Can we not somehow let our minds entertain the notion that where there is the reward for the wicked, and it is horrible, on the other side, there is the reward for the righteous, and it, my friend, is wonderful. Because heaven is not just a fire escape from hell. Heaven is just not a place where I will not burn eternally. But heaven is the reward for the righteous. Behold the goodness and the severity of God upon them which fail severity, but upon you goodness. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. And if the Lord saw fit to take my life tomorrow or even tonight, I know there'd be some people who would be upset. At least I hope so. But you're looking at one fellow who wouldn't. Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. How can you say that? Because you need to understand, folks. I've had a little glimpse into the goodness of God. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I don't really understand how it all happened. But this I do know. I was caught up into the third heaven. What's the third heaven? I don't know. But he was caught up into it. And he said, while I was there, I heard some things unutterable by man. Paula, why are you such a hurry to run to Jerusalem where you know bonds and afflictions abide you? Why, every city you go, the Holy Ghost testifies that if you go to Jerusalem, bonds and affliction abide you. But none of these things moved me, neither count. I don't look at my life as anything but service unto the one who's going to reward me beyond my imagination. And so for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Maybe that's why the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of a saint. Because at that moment, when they breathe their last breath, God finally gets to do what he's been wanting to do their whole existence. At that moment, God finally gets the opportunity to really give them what he's been waiting to give. And in that moment, whether it be soon or whether it be later, in that moment when I slip from this life, don't cry for me, because Lord willing, I'm going to be in a place far better. And finally, it's going to be so good, and it's going to be so overwhelming, and it's going to be so majestic and beyond my imagination, that whatever crown I've earned in this life and whatever I've done to be acknowledged, knowledge and notice, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it from off my head, and I'm going to come before him, and I'm going to throw it at his feet. What I'm saying is, no matter what I've had to do, and no matter what I've been through, and no matter the trouble or the tribulation or the crown I've been able to achieve in this life, it's going to pale in comparison to glory. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. For I reckon, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the reward of the righteous. And even in this life, I'm not going to give a cup of water that God doesn't notice, that he doesn't take note. There's Nate again doing something good. Hey, mark that down. Mark that down in the good column. He's done another good thing. Do I do everything that I want to do all the time? No, I don't. Do you do everything that you want to do all the time? No, you don't. But guess what? I do what I do with the understanding that there is a reward for the righteous. And whether I preach to a church of 10 or I preach to a church of thousands, it really doesn't matter to me. You got to catch this. I don't gauge success or failure based upon those things. What I gauge success or failure is whether I'm lost or whether I'm saved. And when I make it onto the other side, and guess what? I have every intention of making it. Whether I've preached to many or whether I've preached to few, it really ain't going to matter.
What's going to matter is that I stayed faithful in preaching. What's going to matter is that I kept doing what God called me to do, and I kept walking with Him and doing those things that God said do. And guess what? There's going to be a reward for the righteous. So brother, sister, saint of God, keep doing. If it's even just a little cup of water in the name of a disciple, guess what? You're not going to lose your reward. God's not going to neglect the notice. He's going to see it all. And guess what? He's going to reward. So don't cast away your confidence. Hold on. Hold on. Believe that that reward that's coming, the reward for the righteous, is going to be worth every trial, every heartache, every mile. It's going to be worth it all. One beautiful, happy day. It's going to be worth it all. So whether it happens or it doesn't happen, whether I'm blessed in this life or not, my best life awaits me on the other side. And I'm still going to serve Him because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I keep seeking and I keep pressing because the reward that awaits me is so far superior to anything and everything in this life. So let this word be an encouragement. Let this word uplift your spirit. Let this word combat the enemy which would try to convince you that you're doing what you're doing for naught. And that things aren't going to happen. And things aren't going to be like you want them to be. Let this word lift you up and lift your head where you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And know that He already knows it all. And He's already marking down those things that you've done. And you're not even going to give a cup of water in the name of a disciple that He doesn't see it. And you will in no wise lose your reward. It's going to be worth it all. Thank you. Thank you so much, God, for dropping that nugget in my spirit as I prayed, and even while I complained and I was disgruntled, you simply said, you don't even give a cup of water in the name of a disciple that I don't notice.
I'll give you all of my praise.
And you're not slack concerning your promises, but your long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Understands, be patient with the process. Just come to encourage someone tonight. You'll never go wrong doing right. You'll never go wrong doing right.
It's gonna be worth it.
There's a reward for the righteous.
It's gonna be worth it.
Jesus said, you haven't forsaken houses, lands, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. Spouses, you haven't forsaken them, then it's not going to be returned unto you a hundredfold. Hey, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also.
I'm not
adults, don't let the children be the only ones that come to the altar. They need to know it's going to be worth it. Because life's going to cause them to make some pretty extreme choices. They need to know, Mom and Daddy, Grandpa, Grandma, they need to know it's worth it. The life that you've chosen, what you've done, what you're doing, it's worth it.
It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all.
You may not be able to leave them very much in the sense of possession, but if you can leave them with a legacy that they learn, it's going to be worth it. They're living for God. There's a reward for the righteous. You've given them something worth more than all the world. Daughter, grandchild, loved one, you may look at my life and see that I don't have very much as far as this world goes. My possessions may be scant at best, but you need to understand I've got something residing in my spirit that is worth more than all this world. It's the belief, it's the faith that there is a reward for the righteous. Exactly who it was. Christian comedian, if you will. He was being somewhat humorous, but kind of smiled when I heard him say it. He said, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, guess what? Was a carpenter. I bet it's going to be good. I know that's somewhat humorous, but I don't think there's anything in this world that's going to even come close. I've had some opportunity to see some pretty amazing
senior in my life and able to travel some. Been able to experience joy and happiness and some things this life has to offer, but I don't believe any of it comes close or even compares to the reward of the righteous. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let that faith continue to stir me and move me. What awaits me, what you have for me, is so wonderful, so amazing, so beyond my imagination. Old song of the church was simply, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Glorious singing. With heart bells ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? I'm looking forward to that day. When I receive a recompense. For doing what I do. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you lift your hands and lift your voice? Let that faith continue to have us pressing forward in you. To believe what awaits is so much better. Hallelujah. Can we sing this song together? All sorrow will erase, so may love His rays till we see God. Here will be worth it all when precious people gathered together in this service to commit to pressing on in you. For we believe there's a reward for the righteous. We ask you bless upon the proceedings here in a few moments as we celebrate the retirement of Brother Day. Let your blessing be upon the food and the fellowship. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. We encourage you, invite you to come and join with us downstairs. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.